This is tape 5 of the 6-tape series, You Were Created for Love. For those who would like, we will share information on how you may obtain material produced at Shiloh Place Ministries following the message.
God is a God of love. We've seen that last night. God is a God of light. And tonight what we want to look at is God is also a God of law. Turn with me to Galatians 5 as we start laying some scriptural foundations. Galatians 5. And we're going to go through several passages before we get into this. Galatians 5, and let's start at verse 18. Verse 18 of Galatians 5. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorceries, enmities, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Kingdom life is not possible if we're walking in these things. But those who are led by the Spirit are not under the law, but what about those who are led by the flesh? The law is still active in their life. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Do you realize you can be born again, filled with the Spirit, and still have the law active in your life? Or we can be free from the law. Isaiah 24. I'm just going to lay some scriptural foundation and come back. If you get this down tonight, your whole future is going to be transformed. If you get this down tonight, physical healing, supernatural physical healing is going to come your way. Supernatural financial blessing is going to come your way. Promotion in the eyes of man, promotion in the eyes of God. The blessings of God are going to run you down, chase you down. A year from now, you'll not recognize yourself if you get this tonight. Isaiah 24, verse 5 and 6. The earth is also polluted by its inhabitants, for they transgressed laws. They violated statutes. They broke the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse devours the earth, and those who live in it are held guilty. Here's a principle. That God is a God of law. And if we transgress laws, what happens? A curse is released. Not only that, it will literally devour the earth. It'll devour the life that we live. We'll find the devourer active within our life. We'll find, if we transgress the laws of God, that we give a key to Satan to our front door. How many wants the devil to have a key to your front door? Most of you have already given it to him. You see it in your life, your relationships, your finances. If you're not living a life receiving God's love, and there's just such an overflow of love and intimacy, and it just feels so good, I just got to give it to somebody. The devil's got a key to your front door if that's not where you're living. I want to take it back, because that same key will unlock the greatest depth of intimacy and blessing you could have ever imagined. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, 2, and 15. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, 2, and 15. Now it shall be, if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you'll obey the Lord your God. Here we see the principle. If we walk in the principles of laws of God, blessing will chase you down. You'll not recognize yourself a year from now. But verse 15. But it shall come about, if you will not obey the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I charge you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. God established law in order to bring blessings in our life. But the same law that is meant to bless you can release a curse in you. I really thank God for laws of gravity. They kind of keep us from having a little confusion here. They're such a blessing to me. I'm thankful that man had the wisdom to combine the laws of aerodynamics with laws of propulsion, with laws of gravity. They all work together. Engineering laws, they all come together. And instead of me having to drive 12, 14, 15 hours to some places, I can usually get there in a couple of hours by airplanes. So God established law to bring blessing to us, and when these laws are in operation, blessings flow, blessings flow, blessings flow, but lightning flies out of some storm cloud, blows the wing off the plane crashes to the ground, 300 people die. Was God mad at somebody in that plane and he was getting even with them? What killed those people? Law. The same law that's meant to bring blessing can kill you. The same law that can release awesome healing in your life can also release sickness and disease. Does God release the curse? No. Who's the author of the curse? But we're the one that sets it into motion. Satan's the author of the curse. God's the author of blessing, but we set blessing or cursing in motion by whether we keep the laws of God. Now, there's something we need to understand, and here's where we'll start with this. We have a principle of law. We have a principle of grace. What's one of Satan's nicknames? Accuser of the brethren. He's the prosecutor. Satan traffics in law. He's known as the accuser of the brethren. He's known as the prosecutor. Satan traffics here. Where does God traffic, Val? They are exact opposites. God traffics in grace. They are exact opposites. Now, they do have something in common. Do you realize God and Satan do have one thing in common? We found out about it in the morning meetings. Satan wants you dead. God wants you dead. Yeah. Satan wants to destroy your spirit and your soul and body. God wants you dying to self so that you can have Christ living through you. So there's one thing they have in common. Otherwise, everything else is opposite. Everything. So Satan's always negative. And God is always positive. Every time Satan thinks a thought, every time Satan has an action, every time Satan speaks a word. The accuser of the brethren, now this is really deep here now. The accuser always accuses. Always. God's, every time he speaks, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's known as the comforter. The comforter always comforts. All right, we're getting it so far, huh? Okay. Satan traffics here. God traffics there. Now, there is a law we need to look at that is a very much a reality. Turn with me to Luke 6. Luke 6. You want to see this because it is different than you've ever seen it before, because it is completely in context. Too often you've read it out of context. So we need to bring it in context here. Read this with me. Luke 6, starting at verse 35. Luke 6, verse 35. But love your enemies and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Now, the whole context of what we're reading here is, what do you give to the people who give it to you? Anybody got somebody like that in their life? Anybody have more than three people like that in their life? What Jesus is talking about is what do we give to the people that just seem to always give it to us in one way or another? How do we treat our enemies? How do we treat the people that seem to always be treating us this way? That's the context. Now, He said, be merciful just as your Father is merciful, and do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you'll not be condemned. Pardon, and you'll be pardoned. Now, here's the verse that's always been taken out of context, most of the time. Verse 38. It's not a verse about money. It's a verse about what do you give to the people who give it to you. That's what this verse is about. It says, give, and it'll be given to you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. Running over. What's it say? They, men, will pour into your lap, for by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. This is all about where your future lies. This is all about how you're going to spend the rest of your life. This is all about a law, because God is a God of love, He's a God of light, He's a God of law, and He set law into motion to bring blessing in your life, and He has presented this law in order for all the blessings of heaven to be opened up and to pour down upon you, and you just see promotion coming your way, you just see the favor of God and the favor of man coming your way, and everything you put your hand to being blessed, and your barns being full. This is a law for you, but the same law that's meant to bless you will destroy you. You make the choice. God is a God of blessing. Satan is a God of the curse. And it all depends upon what you give to the people who give it to you. Your future is dependent upon that one thing right there. 1989, I'm in a large church staff situation. I had tremendous favor on that staff. I was one of the ruling elders of a church of 2,000 people, 2,000 members. And a staff member came on. It's a common thing among staffs where you have more than one pastor. A staff member comes on that wanted to be at the top of the authority ladder. But he was a little bit immature. And the only way he could move his way to the top of the ladder is by taking everybody else out first. And the first person he goes after is the one who's assigned elder over him and accountability over him. And so he begins to come with little remarks towards the senior pastor, criticizing, pointing out this, and he begins to speak evil reports to me. And I begin to sense the heart of the pastor drawing away from me as one of his staff members. It was quite a while before we realized what was going on, because there was other staff members it was occurring to also. Before long, all favor was gone. When the pastor was out of the town, I was the one that filled the pulpit in front of the cameras, in front of the multitudes.
and I could win favor, and I could win approval. And then I started realizing I'm on the way down. And I started realizing what was going on. And I became kind of like King Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel. God, cut them into little pieces and burn them and bury them under a dunghill somewhere. Give, and it'll be given to you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over by the hands of man, guess what's going to come back? Your future is dependent upon what you give to the people who give it to you. And the only way that I could win favor back was I'm going to have to become like him and destroy him in return. I would have gladly done it. But I had counselors in my life I valued before this day started. And I didn't have much value for their counsel then, but I listened to it, and they said, just keep your mouth shut, let God run the course, because you will have to become like them. But at night I laid in my bed, scheming, conniving, with all of my thoughts, how go get them, God. Let them come down. And all my thoughts were that of a curse towards this person. And the more I thought that way, the more I started finding my relationships falling beside the way. And I lost favor with God, favor with man. And I found myself in the backside of the desert and almost all of my relationships. If you want justice for the wrongs that people have done to you, then the same law applies to you. You cannot ask for mercy for yourself and justice for what others have done to you. It's a possibility. You see, law all deals with what is right, what is fair. What was happening to me was not right. What was happening to me was not fair. But grace is above the law. What did we say when we're walking in the fruit of the Spirit? When we're led by the Spirit, there is no law. There is a place of grace up here that is higher than the law down there. Down here is the place where justice is demanded. Down here is the place to where revenge is. Down here is the place to where it's fair. Down here is the place to where it's right. And my whole thought life is demanding what is right and what is fair and where's the justice in this situation. And over times it would overflow in my language. I could be in the room with this person. It would overflow in my countenance. And soon as I begin to think that way and live that way, I come down out of this higher place of grace to where the law does not apply, and I come down into a legal court system where Satan is in charge. It all comes down to what do we want to sow? What are we going to sow? Are we going to sow accusatory thoughts? Are we going to sow criticism? Are we going to sow fault finding? Are we going to sow towards the ones that disappoint us and hurt us, judgmentalism? Are we going to demand our rights and what's fair? Are we going to sow unforgiveness? Are we going to rehearse our wounds? Then guess what? Whatever you sow in your attitude towards someone that hurts you depends upon what your future is. It depends upon the type of people that are going to come into your life. It depends upon the type of boss that you will have in the future. It will reveal the type of spouse you may marry. It will reveal the type of pastor and church leadership you may have related in your life. Whatever you sow is going to determine the future, the anointing, the blessing, the prosperity, or the curse that's within your life. So what are we going to reap? I'm running out here. Turn with me to Psalm 109. Psalm 109. Verse 17, 18, and 19. He also loved cursing. So what happened? So it came to him. He did not delight in blessing, so it was far from him. But he clothed himself with cursing as with his garment, and it entered his body like water and like oil into his bones. Let it be to him a garment with which he covers himself, and a belt with which he constantly girds himself. It literally becomes part of our everyday countenance. So I began to walk around. Where's the justice in all of this? Dying, 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 dying. Why do I have to die more? Haven't I done enough? Look at all the things I do. I do more work than him. I've never had an affair. I've never had an immoral issue. I get up and I pray 2 to 3 hours every morning. I read the Word every morning. This guy's just walking in the flesh. What is the right? And I began to gather people around me just like that. People who see the fault much more clearly than they see the blessings in a person's life. And now all I could see, if you've got a speck in your eye, that's all you can see. You lose your vision. You lose purpose. You lose destiny because all you can deal with now is that thing that is going on in your life. And you don't realize you're planting a harvest, a crop for the future. And over the next 6 to 7 to 8 years in my life, there was very few people that valued me. Very few people in ministry. Now, the church people valued me. But very few pastors had a value and place for me in their heart. It seemed to follow me everywhere. And so I start with one person, one pastor, that doesn't value me but criticizes me. And I give him what he deserves. In my thought life, in my attitudes, when I'm around him, and a year later, I find I got 3 people that are giving it to me now. And so I begin to build a case in here again, and I give them what they deserve. And a year after that, I got 6 people like that in my life. And about 6 or 7 years go by, and Shiloh Place has no integrity. They have no honor in the views of pretty much the multitude of authorities in my life. And I can always point and say, why, it is everybody else's fault because I've never done anything wrong. Your future is determined upon what you give to the people who give it to you. And by the hands of man, it's going to come down to you. And we'll wear it like a garment upon our countenance. People will sense it. It sets into motion the law of sowing and reaping in Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. If he sows to the flesh, he'll reap corruption in his personality, in his character, in his relationships. But if he sows to the Spirit, he'll reap eternal life. He'll see kingdom things beginning to happen. If you ask for mercy, where's the justice? Give me mercy. Give me mercy. But burn them. Get them. Where's the justice in this? You've just placed a key to your front door in the devil's hands. Because you've just moved over and you've come in agreement with the law. The accuser always accuses. He always thinks negative. He demands justice every time you fail. He drags you into the courtroom of his law and he pronounces you guilty, 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 guilty. And then we walk around feeling it. And then we gravitate around people that are just like that. Satan cannot follow you into the higher place. He can't follow you into this whole way of grace. He can only dwell here. What did it say of love, joy, peace in Galatians 5:23? Goodness, tenderness, self-control. What did it say about these things? In these things, there is no law. Verse 18, he who is led by the Spirit, there is no law. But what happens if we begin to sow to the Spirit? What happens if we begin to sow to Ephesians 4, verse 29 through 32? And when people come and hurt us, and people come and wound us, instead of allowing the accusatory thoughts, we start substituting them for edifying thoughts. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, they're so wounded, they don't know how to do anything else. Instead of critical thoughts, start thinking of ways we can begin to encourage them and meet the need of their life. Instead of fault-finding thoughts, start seeing our fault first. Instead of judgmental thoughts, give mercy. Father, give them mercy. Father, they're so wounded. They're immature. Father, just bring grace and mercy. Instead of demanding what's right, you give the grace of yielding. Give grace, yield rights. If you don't have the grace of yielding tape, a single tape out there, you need to get it. I ministered it the last night that Mike's been at Unity, and when he resigned, it was ministered there. As there was about to be a separation that took place. Instead of unforgiveness, forgiveness flows. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Instead of rehearsing our wounds, we now release healing into our wounds. What are we going to give to those people who give it to us? 1 Peter 3:9. Do not return insult for insult, evil for evil, but instead give a blessing so you might inherit a blessing I have prepared for you. I love people to criticize me. It's an opportunity for me to get more blessing because there's a little blessing bank or a big blessing bank in heaven. There's one section that you can only dip into when people stick it to you. And that place is when they speak evil of you and they criticize you and you just say, bless him, Lord. He says, all right, get some more blessing, some more blessing. Amen. It took me 44 years to figure it out. Hallelujah. When I figured it out, I went to all of the people. I got on the phone. I spent 2 months to all the people I'd heard just did not have a place for me in their life, in their ministry, in their favor, in their reputation. All the little things where I'd heard for years, they were criticizing, speaking against me, and I'd heard this, but I never could put anything on it. I couldn't grasp and get, and I was too afraid of confrontation anyway because I was ruled by the fear of man because I was getting such much coming at me. And I got on the phone, I drove hundreds of miles just to sit down with people for 1 hour. And even though many times they were living on this side, I didn't mention their side. I came to them and stood before them and said, I need to ask you to forgive me. They looked at me, what? I need to ask you to forgive me for relating to you out of an unhealed need and for all these years that I have been so immature and I have not valued you, please, please forgive me. They were the ones that were doing it to me. But what did I give in return? Only two out of quite a number of people said to me, "Now you need to forgive me too." It doesn't make any difference how they respond. All that makes a difference is how you respond. They're going to be responsible for what you, they sow. You're only responsible for what you sow. And when I started sowing that in repentance and asking all these people to forgive me, boom, the favor of God just exploded over the ministry. And the finances went up 200%, literally over a year, year and a half period. And the anointing of God and tapes going all over the world and phone calls and invitations all over the world. I'm wondering, what is happening? It's what I'm sowing. Your future is dependent upon what you sow. It's in your hands. Some of the consequences of negative thinking towards others. Two areas. It will defile yourself. It will defile others. If your thought life is accusatory towards someone whom you don't agree with, you need to realize what's coming your way in the future. Your attitudes will begin to be defiled, and you'll start finding yourself thinking more negative and pessimistic and judgmental. If it stays in your thought life and attitudes long enough, it will then begin to overflow in your speech. It'll go from overflowing in your speech to overflowing into your actions. Your heart will begin to harden now against people. You'll build walls of self-protection. You'll now isolate yourself from people. And all intimacy is cut off with God, with people, and then eventually affects your physical health because you're loaded down with stress and anxiety, and by the age of 45 or 50, you start taking on stress-related diseases. And yet, you're not the one with the problem. Everybody else is the one with the problem. They're the ones that hurt me. And that sets the second thing in motion. Once you start living this way, now it starts defiling the people around you. Because you've got walls up around you, they can feel it. And intimacy's cut off. And because they feel your walls, whenever we're not able to be real in our life, people feel that. So they'll start rejecting us before we reject them. And then people will begin to judge us incorrectly. Because they don't know who we really are inside. We're not real and open and transparent. We're playing all these games. They realize we lack integrity. They realize we're not real and we're not living truth. We looked at it last night in 1 John 1:5 or 6. We are either practicing truth or we're practicing a lie. We're either walking in truth or we're walking in a lie. And if we're unreal and we're trying to cover all this up, people feel it and it defiles their relationship with you. And we start drawing the negative out of the people and they start giving to us what we'd given to them. And it all started with us giving it to one person. And then we have two, and then four, and then eight, and we wonder why our life is a disaster. What have we been sowing? We make a choice to live by the law. The law's good. Where's the justice in this? I demand to be reciprocated for what these people have done to me. We demand that. We're going to live down here. This is what's going to be required of you. But there's a higher law. It's the way of grace. And God has ordained in Deuteronomy 28 the blessings of God to pour out for you. We walked in that in the faith circles in the 80s, but so many people threw it away because they didn't embrace the entire law of a higher law of grace towards the people that hurt us. There is a higher place of forgiveness. If we do not walk out forgiveness, we saw what it will do. It'll release a curse. Or, what would you like to walk in? A blessing. It's your choice. Tell me, is there anybody here that has one day that they can afford to give to this? Anybody afford this? When I first got this, every hour my watch beeped. And I had a watch on, and every hour it'd beep, and I'd go, where have I been? Oh, God, man, I can't believe I'm thinking about that pastor like that. I can't believe I'm thinking about that person. I can't afford to go there. In Jesus' name, I wash and cleanse me. Lord God, I choose to bless that man. He's a gift of God to that city. He's a gift of God to that church. Thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing. Blessings coming, blessings coming, blessings coming. I don't have to have it beep once an hour anymore. Because every few minutes, I just give myself, where am I at right now? And as soon as I catch myself here, I can't afford to live there. I'm having too much fun over here. Because over here is the way of blessing. Over here is innocence is restored, and I feel like a little kid. And I mean, I'm having the time of my life. Innocence is over there. Where over here is resentment, walls, no intimacy. Over here is gentleness and meekness. You find a person that is not gentle and meek, guess where I know he lives? Hardness, over here. You find a person living over here, I find walls and hearts of stone. You can't touch them, like hugging a telephone pole. But over here is transparency and openness. And life starts becoming so much fun, you just can't believe it, because everywhere you go, favor of God, favor of God, favor of God. I used to walk in my pastor's conferences, and I'd be kind of... And I'd go back on the back row and sit out and kind of hide out. Because I knew there's people thinking negatively out there towards me. I went and repented to everybody I knew to repent to. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. I started taking my thoughts, coming back over in the realm, sowing there. I walked in the pastor's conference this year of our home pastor's conference. In fact, the man over the CLST booth there came up to me at the end of the conference, and he said, I've never met you before. I've heard your name. And please, I'm not boasting and I'm not being proud. I'm just trying to help you understand. He said, I've never been in a conference in all these years. I've never been in a place to where every speaker got up and talked about how you had either impacted or transformed their life, or how the message that you've preached has hardly transformed their life. And he said, people all over, all I hear them saying is how Jack Frost has been impacting their life in the favor of God. He said, I don't believe I've ever met a man with such favor and integrity and truth upon his life. It's what I started sowing. I said, thank you. I really appreciate it. Now, I know what to do with that type of praise. Thank you, Lord God, that of me, apart from you, I can do nothing. It's not because of what I've done. It's because of what you've done. And I take that glory and I take that praise and I give it back unto you and I put it in your ballpark. 2 years ago, I was completely faceless, hidden, never had an immoral issue, never had a moral failure, never had an ethical failure, praying 3 hours a day in the Word, all of this going on. Yet no anointing, no favor, and people speaking negatively of me. Certainly! Because that's what I sowed in my thought life, and that's what I reaped in my relationships. I thank Mike and Teresa and others here that they weren't defiled by the negative stuff in me. They worked through that. That's the type of pastor you have here. Many other pastors were defiled. Do not return evil for evil, or cursing for cursing, insult for insult, but instead give a blessing that you might inherit a blessing. All we have to do is come out of judgment into a higher place. We'll find ourselves surrounded by unforgiving relationships, or we'll find ourselves surrounded by forgiving relationships. We'll find ourselves held in bondage to emotional pain, anger, bitterness, resentment, or we find ourselves walking in the freedom out of Egypt and into the inheritance. We find ourselves filled with anxiety, or we find ourselves filled with rest and peace. We find ourselves with the fear of man, or we find ourselves free from all fear. And we can go on. We find ourselves wounded and broken and shattered, or we find ourselves healed and whole. There's something we need to understand, and you can put all your own words in there. There is no love in law. You can't have intimacy in your relationships with God, with others, and walk in the law in one of your relationships. Read 1 John, all five chapters. It is filled with it. You cannot have walk in love and have aught against a brother because you live in the whole realm of law. But there's a way higher. We shared this Monday morning, but we want to share it tonight because so many weren't here. Where would you be tonight without Judas in Jesus' life? There must always be a Judas. There must always be a person in your life who just doesn't understand the timing in your life, who doesn't understand the purposes behind your life. And when Jesus chose Judas as part of the 12, he knew what was in Judas's heart then, and he knew, I've got to have this man in my life, because without him, I don't know that I can make it to the cross, because Jesus wasn't willing to go to the cross. You have to understand that in Gethsemane. Not my will, but yours, Father. Deliver this cup from me. I don't want to do this.
This is the end of side one. We trust that you are enjoying the series You Were Created for Love by Jack Frost. At this time, if you would turn the tape over and press play for the other side. Thank you.